Life Show on UK Health Radio. I'm Robin Daly, host for the show, as well as chairman of Yes to Life, the charity I founded more than 15 years ago with the aim of changing the way that people with cancer are cared for. I knew then that there were far, far more important resources available outside mainstream cancer care that were not being offered and indeed actively being discouraged, and that these should be available to all those unfortunate enough to develop cancer, to support them in body, mind and spirit. This inclusive approach to cancer care has come to be known as integrative oncology, and this is what Yes to Life advocates for. Most of the guests I feature on the show are practitioners or scientists of some kind who work in the field of integrative oncology. But my guest today is someone with personal experience of cancer who has far outlived her prognosis and has become an advocate for changing cancer care herself. Julie Mason has her own YouTube channel and is part of the Wigwam team at Yes to Life. I'm talking to Julie over the internet at her home. And a big welcome to the Yes to Life show.
Hello, Robin. This is you know, this is such a weird thing to be doing because it's almost 5 years ago today, after I'd got my terminal prognosis, that I'd be chopping up all the veggies and fruits and healthy things in my kitchen, and it would be you with your wonderful radio show I'd regularly listen to bring me great inspiration. So did I ever imagine I'd be here now? No,
excellent.
So this is amazing.
Love it, love it. Okay, so you're one of a breed of people who've always been around but whose voices were never heard in the past, but who these days, thanks to the internet, have a way to tell their story. I'm referring to people who are not supposed to be alive. People given a terminal cancer diagnosis who decided they wanted to be around a bit longer than their doctor said they would be. So would you like to tell us about your diagnosis and how you responded to it?
Well, firstly, can I say that I'm going to be here a lot longer than doctors expect me to be. I've been having heavy menstrual bleeding for years, been in and out of the doctors who are expecting me to be having the menopause any time, and that it was probably due to the fibroids, and dosed them up with progesterone. And, it was really hard to get a hysterectomy, but I eventually managed to get a routine hysterectomy because I never had a womb biopsy. Note to that, ladies, always watch what's going on and assume nothing. And I came out with a tumour the size of, almost the size of a tennis ball, larger than a golf ball, but it was only discovered in the lab afterwards, so I was fortunate in the fact they left the ovaries in because everything looked hunky-dory. So, I got the news of the severity of the prognosis after a CT scan a few days before Christmas back in 2016, which, rather put a different tilt on things.
I bet.
To be honest, the worst thing out of all of it wasn't an actual fact the prognosis, it was telling my daughter.
Right.
And there's not a great deal out there, I think, for mums being told this. That's scarier than the cancer diagnosis. And I had wonderful support from my hospice where I was registered immediately, who informed me that it's good if you can be the one that tells your child sooner rather than later, because otherwise it can lead to guilt and other things and feeling that it was their fault. So that was amazing. The weirdest thing was I felt better at that meeting in front of the oncologist than I felt for years, because I wasn't anemic anymore. The energy was soaring back. I felt great. And so to be told that I was dying, it didn't make any sense to me. And I would have gone into shock, obviously, and I felt myself removed from the situation. But yeah, there was an element of disbelief, not just denial, in all of this. And I think that was also due to the fact that early on in the summer, I'd been lying on my bed with anemia, and I felt exhausted and trapped within what I felt was a bad marriage. And I found myself thinking, wouldn't it be convenient? I've got a little bit of cancer. Then I could claim on my critical life insurance and get out of here. And I knew nothing about cancer at the time. But a large part of me did sort of think, wow, that's a bit weird. And but it also gave me a little hint of, I don't know, I mean, I've always been a fairly spiritual person, but it gave me a feeling of an element of control of my journey. That might sound a little bit, you know, far-fetched.
What do you mean by that, exactly?
Well, whether you believe in law of attraction, I guess part of me, because I had been told quite simply by the oncologist that I couldn't be cured. They could give me chemo and radiotherapy, which may buy me more time, it wouldn't cure me. I realised that I had a daughter and dying wasn't an option, and that maybe I had more connection with something bigger than myself than I'd realised.
Right.
And essentially that has become a huge part of my journey, that the power of belief in something larger than myself that I'm connected to, that has a far bigger say than the oncologist ever does.
Right.
Can I say at this point, anybody listening to this, if they've just been given a prognosis, the oncologists do not always get it right, and that you are powerful. And the moment you start believing in this, then miracles can happen. They really, really can. So, so if I was to chop my veg, I would have been listening at that point, and hopefully that would have just told me what I already knew in my heart.
Okay, so you set out as this element of disbelief. You felt inspired and fueled by this connection to something bigger. And so what did you set out to do?
How the internet, eh? Amazing thing. I know that a lot of people avoid it, don't they? Saying, oh, you know, you'll find all the, you know, misleading stuff out there. But I can honestly say that it saved my life.
Right.
The internet and websites like chrisbeatcancer.com, The Truth About Cancer, that and a visit to Dr. Rosie Daniel, one of the UK's first integrative doctors, who really held my hand and showed me a way forward that definitely coincided with my belief system.
Mm-hmm. So you started looking outside, you looked on the internet, you found some other resources. Did you have any conventional treatment at all?
Good question. The wonderful benefit of private medicine is that you get rushed in immediately. So as soon as the doors of the clinic were open, immediately after Christmas, I was in for the wonderful mix of carbotaxol. Mm. Still in shock, not having a clue. You know, at that stage in time, every day extra with my daughter counted. Until I experienced it, the cocktail of chemo that I was given. And after that first one, I had a really bad reaction to it and had a panic attack.
Mm-hmm.
Had the whole ambulance out, holding up the whole of the street in the middle of the town where I lived. And, because I thought I was having a heart attack.
Right.
And so that first one was pretty hard. The second one was easier because they altered what they'd given me. But my hair was starting to fall out, and I was being more and more aware of how things were starting to affect my daughter, and that essentially was the most important thing of all. And I thought, you know, well, they can't tell me how many days it might give me, so why on earth am I doing this? And I turned up for the third one and in tears and decided not to do it.
Right.
So then I put 100% into finding something that would.
Right.
And it seems to have worked.
It does seem to work. So do you want to... I mean, I bet there's a sort of general background, cleaning up your life approaches you took and diet and things like that. But what do you say with the front runners, the main things you did that contributed to your success?
I would say there's three if I had to choose.
Mm-hmm.
The third one is belief that you can do it. Because the moment you have belief, you don't waste your energy on doubt.
Right.
And energy is everything in this game. The second one is restoring your gut biome.
Mm-hmm.
We now know that the majority of our immune cells are in the gut. So it seemed crazy not to tidy that all up. And that basically meant going alkaline vegan, actually. No alcohol, coffee or anything. Being really, really strict for 2 years. Mm-hmm. Not just a few months, 2 years. Okay. And then I started to ease back after that. Now I just eat healthily with the odd little bit of organic meat. But I try and adhere to being vegan as much as I can. Obviously, supplementation helps that. So I was really careful about how I went about all that. Last but not least is stress. I removed absolutely every single incy-wincy bit of stress from my life.
Right.
So the big ones were leaving my marriage, which I did with the help of hospice counselling, who were incredible. The second biggest one was giving up my business, which was entering its fourth year. It was quite exciting, right, but very demanding and could be stressful.
Right.
And then just the little things that bring stress. It might be a comment that a loved one gives you or, absolutely anything. I became really sensitive to my feelings and where my energy was going and how toxic people could really swallow up your energy if you weren't careful.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting
selection. I mean, you know, it's quite in line with the kind of stuff that Kelly Turner comes up with in Radical Remission book. The kind of things that people focused on as being most important. That, yeah, stress is certainly in there. And the belief also of actually having the possibility there that you can get well despite what you've been told. Incredibly important, because, of course, if you're internalising the idea that you have no future, well, any kind of efforts to create one are kind of being stymied at the root.
Yeah, and you know, Radical Remission was definitely one of my early books that was, key in turning all this round. Yeah,
I think, it's great for that, isn't it? It actually does generate possibility for people where there is none. So, I think it's a powerful book. It's certainly one I would recommend to somebody who's just been faced with a very grim prognosis.
Yeah. And your headset is full of everything. And the more simplified a message can be made, mm-hmm. the stronger it can be. Mm-hmm. You know, where do you start? That you can go down so many rabbit holes. And, yeah. And that book has a really succinct way of, I think, getting the most important parts into you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. So we've heard a bit about what you chose to do. And I'd like to hear, well, where you are now. How do things look now after 5 years?
Well, I'm in the fortunate position to have had clear scans for 4 of those 5 years. I managed to turn around what was swollen lymph nodes in the para-aorta within 9 months. Mm. Because I've been clear now for 4, I have been removed from the need to see the oncologist because of that long period of being NED, no evidence of disease.
Mm.
What's staggering to me is, having been told that I was going to die, there's no apology, there's no, oops, we got it wrong. It's a matter of, we're so thrilled to tell you again that there's no evidence of disease on your scans. And this leaves you still, you know, with all the best interests of believing that you're clear, the disbelief that they cannot back it up with anything that gives you any form of certainty. I did pay for a main trap blood test to see what was going on at a cellular level.
Yes.
Because my CA125 didn't show anything up. Unfortunately, the main trap blood test came up as, you know, pretty damn good, all considering, and that, you know, I can get on with my life. And I took more faith in that blood test than I did do on anything that the oncologist could tell me from a point of view of what's happening in my body.
Yeah, interesting. And so, obviously, yes, certainty is one of those precious commodities for people who have had a diagnosis of cancer. Few people have much of it, really. I was just interested how much of your energy goes into doing things that you would think were to maintain your state of health and of avoiding a recurrence.
Well, obviously, the key is to still avoid all stress and to eat well. I still juice regularly.
Do you, right?
The thing that does look change completely is your outlook on life and suddenly what's important to you. And at the moment, the most important thing to me is for other people to know that cancer doesn't have to be this big, scary thing that you're led to believe. And my way of doing that is to set up a YouTube channel. I thought that was quite a good idea. It took me a long time before I dared to do it because, you know, part of me thought, well, is this a good idea? Because people will be constantly on lookout to see if you've died yet. What angle shall I come from? And I thought, well, the most important angle that I feel is A, to share what I did to still be here, but more importantly, to let people know that I fought nothing. This whole big idea of you have to fight cancer, I always felt really uncomfortable with that. I'd spent the previous year fighting in my marriage for a long time. It made no sense to fight anything anymore, whether it be my marriage or cancer. I realised that as soon as I got energy back, energy should be put to good use, certainly not fighting anything. And so I call my YouTube channel Cancer Soothe.
I noticed that.
Because that's what I did. I soothed myself back to health.
Interesting. Well, yeah, that is, of course, I did notice the title. I thought, yes, I must ask you to tell us about that. Yes, there's quite a few people who are feeling the way you are these days at this whole battle against cancer, which has been going on forever. You know, that's the kind of language that's been used about cancer for decades. And it doesn't seem to work very well for an awful lot of people. I think it maybe does work for some, but for more and more people are saying that really it's not where they want to be battling. And so it's interesting to hear your take on it there and to actually compare it with what you were doing before that you had your diagnosis and how you actually want to go to a radically different place in relationship to yourself.
I think the one thing that I would have in common with someone who's fighting cancer was determination, sheer focus, determination.
Okay.
I think that's what's important. And I use up less energy by being sheerly focused and fighting, by being calm and level-headed in order to research, to find, for me, what were the proactive things I needed to be doing to survive. I wonder how much you can do that properly if you're fighting it.
Well, I think it does work for some people. That's how they focus. Certainly not everybody. So how would you say that the whole experience of having cancer has changed you? Do you feel there have been fundamental changes in who you are and the way you relate to the world?
The biggest one, for fear of sounding corny, is it's taught me to love myself. I always thought I did before, but this time around, thinking you do and feeling that you do are two completely different things. I always used to be the sort of person that lifted my head. I now very much, I'd probably say I'm 55% heart and 45% head. And once you start living more in the heart than head, you're happier. You know, you learn a deeper happiness. You see it. Because if you feel happiness before you're in it, that's the best part, really, isn't it?
Right.
That's the biggest gift.
I can relate to the fact of living in your head, for sure. I've been there. And the thing is, that, as you pointed out, you don't actually know that you're missing anything because it's just how things are at that point. So, that I think that's why a shocking experience can sometimes, well, too often really, be what we need to shake us out of the box we're in.
Yeah, because no matter how much time you've got left, it seems crazy not to be living it in the full, being as happy as possible, learning as much as you can, and feeling that love and compassion for others.
Okay, so just coming back to your YouTube channel, I wonder if you'd say a bit more about what you're hoping to be able to deliver on the channel, what you're hoping that people are going to take away from your efforts to convey your experience.
Oh, I don't know whether I've thought about it that well. I think the mission was to simply, A, share the fact that I am still here when I'm not meant to, and to give people an idea of structure as to how to spend their time. Because even though that was my path and showing the things I did, I'm aware that it doesn't have to be their path. But the one thing that's important is to intuitively be in touch with your path as you move ahead, especially if you refuse traditional treatment. You know, you can just be like a bit of flotsam on a tidal wave, you know. So, encouraging people to create their own focus and their own clear path ahead that feels right for them in whatever myriad of therapies and other things that they choose. Mm. I'm certainly not saying you've got to do it my way. Absolutely not. Right. But I was just sharing what my way was and my feelings about why it may have worked for me.
But maybe the one aspect of your way that you do want people to have in common with you is the fact that you found out what your intuition was telling you and followed it.
Yeah.
So that's an interesting area. If, say, you're lost in your head and stressed to death, you've probably got no idea what your intuition is telling you or even how to hear it. So anything to say about that? Because you've obviously, I think it sounds like you've moved from not being connected to your intuition to being connected to it. So how did that happen?
I think that when you're more focused on a certain path, you pay more attention to what's in front of you. And part of that is you start to notice the synchronicities more. I think that when we're on the right path and we've made the right choices in life, it's amazing how suddenly these morsels are put in front of us, should we choose to see them. And when you start to see them, they start to make more sense and they start to happen more often. And that's when you feel that you're part of something magical.
Do you want to
give us, that makes sense?
Well, it does. But do you want to give us an example, something that's happened to you that's worked in that way?
One thing that I did do regularly is I did EFT, the Emotional Freedom Technique, because I didn't know how much time I had left. Going for counselling, apart from that with my husband, counselling didn't make a lot of sense to me. I wanted something that could deal with emotions that were on the top quite quickly. And that is what the Emotional Freedom Technique, or tapping for people that might not know it, does. You would go, and in my situation, I was fortunate enough to go and see the practitioner face to face, and we'd have a little chat for 20 minutes, half an hour, so that we could see what was on top in order to release that emotion through tapping. And basically, with tapping, the more tearful a session that you have, often the more beneficial things come out of it. But on a couple of occasions when I did it, amazing things would happen quite quickly. And the two that spring to mind, well, the first one was a very tearful one when I knew that I'd be seeing the surgeon the next day, who was going to go in and do a pretty major operation to get to those lymph nodes to get them out. And I can remember having a tearful session with tapping, saying, I just don't want another operation. I just got over the hysterectomy. The year before that, my body had been inflamed, my gallbladder, I needed that out. And I was just feeling good. I just did not want another operation, no matter what. And anyway, the next day, 9 o'clock in the morning, sitting in front of the surgeon, the first thing he said when he came in was, I really don't see any point in doing this operation. And he went on to explain how the lymph nodes were too close to a vein and it would kill me if they tried to do the operation.
Right.
And again, this I could have viewed that operation one of two ways. Oh, that's good. What a coincidence.
Yeah.
Or I could view it as, wow, now somehow, why doesn't this seem like a surprise?
Right.
And see the joy of the synchronicity. Two slightly different ways of looking at it. Mm. I mean, another one was, I can remember it was a time with scanxiety. I was due a scan, scared that something might come back. And part of what made me scared was I was out of puff a lot. And because of where the lymph node was, I knew that they were expecting to see it come up in my lungs. And so, of course, I convinced myself that it had come back in my lungs because I was so out of puff. So there I was, tapping away. Oh, my God, the next scan's going to show that it's come back to the lungs. So it was another tearful session, lots of emotional release. Within half an hour of leaving that session, I remember I had to walk up quite a steep block of stairs and out of puff in order to go to this health shop to buy some things. And it was when I was standing in the health shop, a lady came up to me and she said, I hope you don't realise, but I've noticed looking at your hair that you might be anemic. And she was a kinesiologist and she recognised I was low on iron. But this is typical of scanxiety brain, you see. It never occurred to me. You'd have thought that I knew what anemia looked like after all those years before. But being vegan, I had been lacking that little bit of iron. Of course, the moment I took more iron again, I was back to normal. But what a coincidence. These large coincidences happen so quickly after the EFT.
It's a pretty amazing one, I've got to say.
Yeah. It begs the question about energy medicine. We know so little about energy medicine.
We do.
Whether it be in the form of therapy or otherwise.
Absolutely right. But a huge part of it, of course, is appreciating that it could exist and it might help us, in which case we can allow it to be. So thanks for the stories. That's really good. Really painted the picture there. Okay, so the reason that I know you and that we're talking today is that you recently joined the team at Yes to Life. And you're working on our Wigwam project. So what was it about Yes to Life that attracted you to work with us?
Well, first of all, it started off because I was approached by your Wigwam facilitator to do a video about Cancer Soothe. We were working together on that.
Okay.
And you employ such lovely people, Robin.
Like you.
I had such fun doing that with them, and it did remind me of when I worked with a charity early on in my 20s, and I'd forgotten how special the people are that tend to work in charities. And so, I mean, them combined with obviously the cause that you represent, I mean, it was a non-brainer, really, to be able to continue the good work that was important to me and help you guys as well.
And what about the Wigwam project itself? What is it about that?
Yeah, so the most wonderful thing about Wigwam is that it's so lonely having cancer. You can have all your friends and family around you, but there's nobody that understands and knows like somebody else with cancer.
Right.
And I was lucky because when I was newly diagnosed, Penny Bond did the most amazing retreats that haven't been able to happen, I know, with COVID for a long time. And so I saw something that offered the next best thing, the ability to connect with other people locally or on Zoom. I believe that was really, really critical to my healing journey. And I have no doubt that it's critical for everybody else as well.
Mm-hmm. Great. So while we're at it, we may as well do a bit of an ad for all the services of Wigwam, as everybody who's listening won't necessarily know what we're talking about. Do you want to just give a quick rundown of the things that Wigwam actually does?
Well, the part that I'm mainly responsible for, so of course I'm about to plug this first, is the forums that we run. And by forum, I mean you run regularly interview people on Zoom, so that unlike this, they'll be able to see you interviewing people on Zoom of all topics related to cancer. And so my job is to be behind the scenes on that and to promote it, publicise it, get it going. That's one exciting part of what we want to. And the other part, which we're really putting a lot of energy into now, is to set up more groups of people that can get together and help support each other through their integrative journey ahead. And they can do that in one of two ways. They can either be helped by us to create a local group where they can actually meet up in person if that's what you want to do, or they can join a more national group online through Zoom where you can see each other if you choose to. You don't have to be seen, but start to connect and share your experiences to create a positive path ahead.
Great stuff. Yeah, the online version is one of these things, offshoots of the pandemic, which, you know, obviously everything moved online anyway. All the in-person groups had to happen virtually. So it seemed quite natural to actually capitalise on it at the other end and to develop some for those people who, some people actually, they may not have people local to them. There are some really outlying folks. I think it's important to underline that the ethos beneath the Wigwam groups is that there is this shared interest in integrative medicine and in supporting each other in helping themselves to the many benefits of integrative medicine, which is a great thing. And it's so hard for people who don't have other people who understand why they would be interested in integrative medicine. You know, quite often people think you're completely nuts if you're interested in stuff to do with diet or whatever it is. And, you know, that is so hard, I think, when you're actually trying to save your life and you understand there's good science behind these things and you don't want to have to battle your corner and convince other people. You actually just want to share good information with people who already understand. So, yeah, enormously important, I think.
Yeah, because of course there are lots of internet chat rooms out there, so many that vary so greatly. What's great about Wigwam and Yes to Life is it is so specific and so positive, because most of them out there aren't positive in the way that we tend to be. Yeah, and so that is where if there had been Wigwam 5 years ago, I wouldn't have hesitated to join, without a shadow of a doubt.
Okay, well, we've got Wigwam now, so do join up, anybody's listening who's, or at least have a look and see what you think. We're about out of time, so do you want to tell people how to get access to your video channel?
Right, so pop onto YouTube and type in Cancer Soothe, all one word, Cancer Soothe, S-O-O-T-H-E. And you'll find lots of videos that I've put on since March. And, yeah, excellent. Say hello when you get there. Tell me what you think.
Excellent. And for anybody who wants quickly to have the details of Wigwam, it has its own website, wigwam.org.uk. And it's free to sign up. And once you've signed up, you get access to lots of past forums that have been recorded and various other resources that are there for people with cancer. It's an offshoot of the charity Yes to Life, but it does have its own website. Okay, so thanks so much for talking to us today, Julie. Really inspirational story yours, and certainly it's great to have you as part of the Yes to Life team.
It was lovely being here, Robin. Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
Pleasure. Bye.
As Julie pointed out, we're fortunate to have a fabulous team of dedicated people who run the services at Yes to Life. If you're interested to help in some way, then do get in touch via our website, that's yestolife.org.uk. And anyone who's not familiar with our website, I'd strongly encourage you to take a look at all the resources available there, which include the Life Directory, a fully searchable collection of providers and therapies in the field of integrative oncology. The directory is somewhat UK-centric, as we are a UK charity, but it is nonetheless international, and it can both quickly tell you what's available near you and help you to find providers across the globe of particular therapies. If you're new to the directory, there's a short video on the start page to help you get the most out of it. The website's also home to a searchable directory of all the Yes to Life shows from the past 5+ years. It enables you to look for episodes based on guest, topic or keyword. Those are just two of the resources available on the website, so do have a look at yestolife.org.uk. And as mentioned in talking to Julie, Wigwam does have its own website, wigwam.org.uk, which features yet more resources for members, and membership itself is free. Lastly today, I want to tell you about an exciting event that Yes to Life is putting on in partnership with Penny Bron UK. It's called Bridging the Gap, and it asks the question, how do we gain the acceptance by oncology professionals of safe integrative interventions? It features both the co-chairs of the British Society for Integrative Oncology, that's NHS oncologist Dr. Penny Kehioglu, and integrative cancer specialist Dr. Nina Fuller-Chavelle, as well as Dr. Catherine Zollman, medical director of Pennybrun UK, amongst others. It's an online forum, it's on the 23rd of October, and early bird tickets are available now at very low prices, so do book yours right away. You can find full details on the Yes Life website. Just click the button in the banner at the top of the homepage. Thanks so much for joining me today. I hope you can listen again next week when I'll be back with another guest from the world of integrative oncology for another Yes to Life show here on UK Health Radio. Goodbye.